You know, this is about as informal as you can get, right? We started off in Crossroads, started talking about some cool stuff, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to bring you guys back. Now, we have bits to show, and we'll show those bits for sure, but we'll also kind of show you some thinking that went into those bits, just so that you can give you a nice backgrounder as far as what we're doing. We can show you kind of the different windows and how they work together, but it might be nice just to talk about the functionality of what's there, what's not there. You just feel free to ask questions as we go. I mean, we wrote this as a formal presentation that we gave a couple of weeks ago to like about 150 Microsoft employees, but we also did the same type of presentation at TechEd in front of like maybe 300 folks. Tom gave it. I gave another one in at a Cabana session to about 100 and some people. So I think, you know, there's a lot here. We can go into whatever detail you want to get into. We'll also have working demos inside the presentation where we stop and we actually show you the bits. But if you have any additional questions you want to get into, we can totally get on that road. So actually just kind of start here. So you'll hear us talk about EDT V1 test discussion. It's kind of the part of the product that Tom and I work on is enterprise development and test tools. And we'll get into exactly what that means and what those pieces really are inside WGBI. So WGBI. You know, you've heard this internally, and originally this name was actually used for, you know, the current version of Visual Studio. And like I said, this was originally put together for internal Microsoft employees, and so WGBI was used a lot, you know, in that discussion. But for you, it's the current version of Visual Studio. We talked about test tools, and we'll talk about test tools, the user experience that's there, test development, test execution, results, and kind of the integration inside Visual Studio 2005. And probably for this crowd, we won't go through the V2 slides. Just to be clear, like, you know, there's a line, and that line, you know, you won't probably break that line. So first of all, what is WGBI? So when you think of Team Server or Team System, there's a lot of different pieces. And before we get into, like, the actual bits that are there and the actual, you know, pieces that are on the ground, and we'll jump to that very quickly, I just want to talk conceptually about what are those pieces. So the first thing that we're trying to do with this version of Visual Studio is really we're jumping into the lifecycle tools market. That's really what we're moving into. And we've kind of taken these different approaches and said, you think of Visual Studio today and you think, wow, it actually is this dev tool and I use it and dev guys around my org use it and it's a very complicated tool and it's there really to, you know, improve the development lifecycle or to improve the development process. But we're actually extending that and saying, well, how can we reduce the complexity that you face every day? Not just you as a developer, but like everyone on your team. A lot of developers and a lot of technical folks that use Visual Studio today, they feel like they have a lot of information, but really the business folks and the guys in other roles don't really get that information, and that's an issue. And so how can Visual Studio kind of enter into the picture and reduce that complexity? And along with that, how does it help facilitate communication? So when we talk about reducing complexity, typically we talk about reducing code complexity, right? Like how do we take the code and make it more efficient? Well, how do we take the communication and the actual development model and make it more efficient? How do we help the people communicate around Visual Studio and take the information that each of the silos have, the different roles are kind of the silos of information, how do we take that information and share it between those roles and get it out of the silos and break it apart? And then, you know, finally, how do we enable our partners? Like, you know, from our perspective, Visual Studio very much is a tool where partners have been able to come in for a long time via different partnering programs and plug in. And we want to keep that model open. We want to, you know, we're not trying to make a closed system. We definitely want to make an open system that different people can plug into and the customer gets the most value. So this isn't really about locking folks out. It's kind of about providing this, you know, platform to build lifecycle tools. So if you've been on blogs lately and you've looked on the websites and you've seen these different pictures, this is one of the pictures you'll see a lot of, right? How, you know, the different SKUs that are out there and kind of what we've talked about. And there are various versions of this slide. This was the latest one that I found, but I think there's probably even a later slide that's out there. But this really talks about how, you know, Visual Studio 2005, the team system version, will have BS, team architect, team developer, and team test, and then be built on a foundation of servers. Today in Visual Studio, you think about, Visual Studio is a client tool, and there might be, you know, a server product or two inside it like Visual Source Safe, but really it's not built on a solid foundation of servers. But the next version of Visual Studio, Visual Studio Team System, will be built on that foundation. And so the foundation we're talking about is like change management, work item tracking, project management, the basic servers including, you know, source code control, bug tracking, and so on. Things you're going to really need inside your life cycle of your development process to really build, you know, to really use the client tools to make them the most effective. We look at team developer and team test, and what we see is that's really the meat of where we're going to be talking about today, the actual features built around testing and built around the development process itself for the developer and the tester. We'll talk about how those integrate across the rest of the SKU features. So specifically looking at EDT, the tools that we actually are about providing are tools like static analysis, profiling. Those are kind of the dev tools we provide, and then the actual test tools for test authoring and test execution. You know, how do we plug into this, or how do we actually, you know, take this and take it out to the actual public? And these are the tools that we're going to. So you see the different SKUs. We started at the conceptual level, went to the SKUs, and now we're going to the actual team that Tom and I are on, and you know what we actually ship inside Team System. Specifically, we're talking about test offering and test execution today. So the user experience. So the test tools today can be thought of as broken up into three conceptual pieces: test authoring, test execution, and test results. We have a different approach via each of these three sub-areas, and we'll just jump right into the actual test authoring. So with test authoring, what we didn't want to do was we didn't want to go and change the paradigm that kind of works today. You know, Visual Studio is used by a lot of different users, everyone from C++ users to Visual Basic users, and they find a home. They can build lots of quality code inside Visual Studio. We didn't want to break that model. We wanted to actually extend that model and bring testing to that. So we didn't want to go ahead and clutter up your windows and add a bunch of windows and make it, you know, a whole new set of windows that's going to really create havoc in your dev environment. So we really had this design principle: don't break something that isn't broken. You know, don't try to fix it. Don't try to, you know, add too much to it in one SKU. So what we really did was we kind of leveraged some existing windows, Solution Explorer, Properties window, and we added a couple of new windows, Test View and Results View, and we're going to show you that. We basically said the largest real estate in Visual Studio should be reserved for your code, particularly in when you're actually writing the code. If you're a test developer or a developer who's now trying to get into testing, you definitely don't want to, you know, sacrifice more screen real estate. So the first piece that we'll talk about is kind of the Solution Explorer. So the Solution Explorer today, you can think of it, you know, you have a solution, you create a project, and inside that project lives your dev code. In Team System, you can actually have a test project. Inside that test project, you'll actually have your tests in a test-specific project. So instead of having your tests in just another dev project or your tests intermingled with your dev project, we'll actually segment those tests away from your dev code so you don't make the mistake of shipping your tests. So your tests will go in a specific project, and it feels just like a normal Dev Studio project, except it's actually set aside for tests.
When it comes to, like, you know, technical, like, member access visibility, for example, like, do test projects have access to internal methods, for example?
Absolutely. We'll show you how to do that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they do. So we've actually built a model to help you do it with reflection and help you get all the kinds of access you'll need.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we'll show a little bit of that in the demo and whatnot.
How do you get to a private object?
That's right. That's what we
do. Does the test class have a knowledge of the project that's being tested, or is it linked just to the references?
It's linked to the references. It can also be linked via special attributes that we have that can help link it. It depends on how much linkage you want to do. You know, there's a lot of features as you go deep. Like any Microsoft product, we can go very deep as far as features go. But at the same time, it can also be very simple, and we'll show you that. We'll show you kind of both sides of the house, if you will, the very complex to the very simple. But the main point we want to bring up here is that tests finally have kind of a first-class home inside Visual Studio. It's not just a DLL that you happen to know is a test-oriented product, a project, but really everyone in the team, unless they kind of talk to you, they don't know it's a test project. They think it's a dev project. This actually is a test-specific project inside Visual Studio, and you can find it inside the Visual Studio dialog, you know, new test project instead of new, you know, specific C-sharp, you know, project. Beyond that, we created another window called Test View. Test View is kind of a lot like Class View. So because tests can be as small as a singular method, and a test class could have lots of methods, and they're about having a lot of tests, you know, it's kind of hard if you load up an entire solution that you're not familiar with to find the specific test that you require, right? It's really hard to find that. So TestView shows you your tests in that particular solution. You can see the tests lined in the window. You can then double-click that test and jump right to your source code. So it's really a tool, if you're the author of tests, to find the exact test that you need. You can also do kind of handy, nice, utilitarian things in the dev in this dev environment. You can quickly, you know, select the test and run that one test in this environment. You can also hit F5 and run all the tests in a particular project. But if you wanted just one-off execution, I want just the one test, I'm going to click it here in Test View, click Play, and it will go ahead and run for you. And we'll show you some of this momentarily. The important part is if you're debugging and you're in the middle of writing code, you don't want to switch to a different window view. We do have that type of thing we'll show you in a moment. But you don't want to switch that different view just to run your test. You want it right there at your fingertips without really changing the authoring environment. We then have this results window. The results window now shows all the different tests that you've run and then their result. So once you've run a test, how does it show up? It actually shows up in the results window that lives, you can kind of base it right there in the bottom by your output window, and then you can see the results of tests.
Do failed tests show up in the task list?
Do failed tests show up in the task list?
Like in the same way that compiler errors show up in the task list?
Yeah, not today they don't. We don't really tie the exact running of tests to the actual element of authoring. We could have, but we also wanted to make room for the guy who runs tests who doesn't necessarily write them. So they don't show up by default that way. It might be an interesting feature for us to think about down the road. So what's interesting is that this is Visual Studio without any test features enabled. Right? This is just typical Visual Studio. If you've written C# code inside Visual Studio or VB code inside Visual Studio, this is what it looks like. If I enable the test features, that's what it looks like. And as you can see, we didn't really impede on the actual development window. The actual code size is still the same. We've added to the environment instead of actually changing it so drastically that if you're familiar with the code environment, it has changed so badly that you have to read new instructions. We didn't want to do that. So there, that's a great example. So one more time, kind of without our bits, and then finally with our bits. Just new projects, tests shown up, and results. Good stuff. So with test execution, we had a bit of a different challenge. We want to run tests inside Visual Studio, and this isn't necessarily the test author. Like, the test author could be the guy who runs these tests, but it could also be the guy in the lab, or the guy in the team that's tasked with taking tests from a lot of different folks, putting them together, and then executing them. So this is a different role, right? It can be the same developer if you have multiple hats. It can be the same developer, and a lot of times in a lot of organizations, it is the same developer. But really, we're switching to a different mode, and thereby in Visual Studio, we had different expectations. So instead of saying, "Well, there's an existing paradigm in Visual Studio that works today," we said, "Well, really, there isn't an existing paradigm on how to execute tests in Visual Studio." You know, you can, you know, if you have F5 hooked up to a DLL that happens to be your particular type of testing project, then you can run a set of tests, right? Maybe one or maybe a set that's in a particular assembly. But if you have a large number, 10,000 tests across multiple assemblies, it's really hard. And there isn't that paradigm today in Visual Studio. So we said, hey, let's take Visual Studio and provide this rich environment to manage and control tests. If we give users that, it'll be really useful, especially for that guy whose job is to take tests from multiple locations and run them, or multiple people and run them, or actually is in the lab and running them for, you know, a very utilitarian purpose in the product lifecycle. So we actually looked at Visual Studio and we added this new window that today in the tech ed bits we call Test Explorer, where, you know, some of these things are still under change, so don't be surprised if some of this actually gets changed in the final bits. We went ahead and added a command line parser because we're very aware that I think just today in Crossroads we were talking to, you know, sets of users that were saying, "Oh, I don't want to run from inside Visual Studio. I want to drop right to the command line." Exactly, automated build process. We wanted that sort of functionality. So we didn't bind you to using the IDE. You know, you could definitely use a different editor, though you won't get some of the cool features inside Visual Studio. But you still have that freedom at the command line to drop down and just do what you need to do. We also went ahead and tied right into the results window that we kind of showed you already. Our primary user scenario is not necessarily the author. Again, you can be the author and use this this set of features, but you can also be a person who's not necessarily familiar with Visual Studio and then get all the testing execution features that you're going to need. So the first, this window is the primary window for execution. We call it Test Explorer, and this is listing all the tests in your particular that are loaded right now without categories. And we'll show you what categories mean and all that good thing. So these are all the tests you currently have loaded. A couple of interesting points to note. You don't necessarily need all the projects loaded in order to have the tests loading. So that means that you don't have to have all the source code for every single test that you're going to execute. You indeed need the binaries, because when you execute, you're going to need them. But if you just load like a metadata file, that one metadata file will be parsed. We'll put the tests inside Visual Studio. Now you can run them. Instead of having to load all the projects with all the source code and having to manage all of that, it kind of becomes a nightmare if you have a large set of tests. So in this particular window, you don't actually need the projects loaded themselves. You then can go ahead and put it into category mode and actually show a hierarchical view of categories that you've created. And these allow you to take any kind of tests you have and drop them inside these categories and then create groups of tests that you can then run with your organization. So in this case, I've created a BVT node, build verification tests, and I've made subnodes, unit tests, currency tests, shopping tests, required JIT tests, forms, data, and so on. And I've just started to drop all the different tests in a particular solution into that hierarchy. And I can then share that hierarchy with people in my team, and they get the benefit of this categorization. If they don't understand the categorization, they can still use it, because you can say to them, just run BVT tests. They can check the BVT check mark, all the tests then get selected, and they can execute. The interesting other note is that you can also load it with the project system. So if you do have an existing solution and you're on a smaller team and all of your tests are in one solution, it works with that too. You don't necessarily need to use the external file. It'll use the solution/project system as well. So then the command line. So in general, we said we wanted to build this command line and make sure that it was able to be used externally from Visual Studio and give you all of the power that you really require. I'm not sure if I added an extra slide here. Yeah, I didn't. So let's just talk about this for a minute. So from this one window, from this one command line, you can do everything execution-wise that we're going to show you from within Visual Studio. You can do it from the command line. So we're going to show you integrated code coverage. We're going to show you integrated bug logging. We're going to show you integrated results publishing. We're going to show a lot of different integration points, and most of them can be run right from this, can be used from this command line. So you don't necessarily have to be bound to the shell. Right. So we're also point out that once you run, say, 10,000 tests that are intermixed into categories, the results window can also be put into categorization mode. Then we can show the different categories in results as well. So if you had 10,000 tests you just selected that were all broke up into categories, it'd be kind of hard to manage if all the results were just flat. You can, of course, put it in the flat view if you want it that way, but you can also view it from a hierarchical standpoint. So you can imagine that if you had run 10,000 tests and they're broke up in a category hierarchy, you can investigate them on a per category basis and then communicate them to your team. Some BBTs fail. That gives you a lot of information. But some BBTs in the shopping cart subcategory really tells you a lot more. And so this gives you a way to categorize and then communicate with the rest of your team. Once you have a test listed in the results menu, or in the results window, you can also double-click that test. And when you double-click it, we then show you the results details above the results window. So it actually gives you all the different details. Stack trace information, all the different standard out, standard error, all the different information you'd expect to be able to actually then go and communicate that failure to someone else. The different types of tests that we have interesting detailed results. So this is actually for a generic unit test. So you have this unit test. I ran the unit test. I want to see the results. Here are the details of those results. Other types of tests have much more detailed results. Like, for instance, load tests. As you can imagine, when we run load tests, they collect all this different information. And showing that in a flat form isn't as interesting as showing it in an interesting graph. And we'll show you that today. We'll try to do it with a demo. And we also have a slide to show you that as well. Now, in the tech ed bits, that pain didn't come up. That's not because it doesn't work yet. I mean, it is actually because it doesn't work, but it's not because it's not planned. It's actually planned. That's on the spec to do. You can also go to the code coverage tab. So we have this integrated code coverage. built right into Visual Studio, and we'll show you that working today. And when you integrate code coverage with your test run, you get this really interesting dynamic where you can see how effective your tests are as you develop them and as you execute them. And then while you're in Visual Studio, you simply switch the code coverage view, see the high-level percentages, lines missed, lines hit, percentage of lines hit. So you can see that 100% were covered in one case, 66% were covered in the converted class case. That might be an interesting place to go investigate. Once I double-click on that class, it literally takes me right to the source code and colors the lines for me and shows me what I hit and what I missed. For all you in TV land, that was a great... Yeah. So that's really cool because, you know, obviously if you have the set of tests that you've just written, it'd be nice to know how effective those are. This can really show you to the exact line what's missed, what's hit, and what's partially covered. So you know how to write your tests more effective. Cool. So now we're going to kind of get into the actual development of tests. Do what?
That's where it's weight and goal.
Yeah, that's a good quote. Yeah, so the development test is where we're going to kind of get actually into the actual demos. We'll show you these. Now, some of these are just kind of because of the audience, we kind of threw them together at the last minute. So, you know, forgive us if it takes us a little longer to get it all set up just the right way. So, what are test types? In Visual Studio, you hear us talk a lot about test types. Tests are, you know, test types are our approach at making writing tests very simple. Now, a lot of these tests you can write yourself by hand. You can kind of get the same functionality, but these test types help you. What they don't do is limit you. We don't enforce a mode of behavior on you. So if you selected a unit test and it started off as a very simple test that you were writing as one method to cover another method, but somehow it's began to be more than that.